He who with steadfast humility and patience endureth tribulations for the fervent love of God shall soon attain to great graces and virtues. He shall be Lord of this world and shall have an earnest of that glorious world which is to come. Everything which a man doth, be it good or evil, he doeth it unto himself. Therefore be thou not offended with him who injures thee, but rather in humble patience, sorrow only for his sin, having compassion on him and praying fervently for him to God. For in so far as a man is strong to suffer and endure injuries and tribulations patiently for the love of God, so great and no greater is he before God. And the weaker a man is to endure sufferings and adversities for the love of God, the less is he in the sight of God. If any man praise thee, speaking well of thee, render thou that praise unto God alone. And if any man reproach thee, speaking evil of thee, do thou help him by speaking of thyself still worse. If thou wouldst maintain thine own cause, strive to make it appear evil, and maintain that of thy good companion good, ever accusing thyself and sincerely excusing thy neighbor. When anyone strives and contends with thee, if thou wouldst conquer, lose thy case, and losing it thou shalt conquer. For if thou wilt go to law to obtain the victory, when thou believest thou hast obtained it, thou shalt find thyself shamelessly defeated. Wherefore, my brother, believe me assuredly that the certain way to gain is to lose. But if we endure not tribulation well, we shall never attain to consolation eternal. It is a meritorious thing and far more blessed to endure injuries and reproaches patiently, without murmuring, for the love of God, than to feed 100 poor men, or to keep a perpetual fast. But what profits it a man, or how does it benefit him, to afflict his body with many fasts, vigils, and disciplines, if he cannot endure a little injury from his neighbor? And yet from this might he derive greater reward and higher merit than from all the sufferings he could inflict upon himself of his own will. For to endure reproaches and injuries from our neighbor with humble and uncomplaining patience will purge away our sins more speedily than they could be by a fountain of many tears. Blessed is the man who has ever before the eyes of his mind the remembrance of his sins and of the favors of God, for he will endure with patience all tribulations and adversities for which he expects so great consolation. The man who is truly humble looketh for no reward from God, but endeavors only to satisfy him in all things, knowing himself to be his debtor. Every good thing which he hath, he acknowledges to come from the free bounty of God, while every evil that befalls him proceedeth from his sins alone. A friar once said to Brother Giles, "Father, what shall we do if some great adversity or tribulation befall us in these times?" To whom Brother Giles replied, "My brother, I would have thee to know that if we be such as we ought to be, though the Lord should rain down stones and lightning from heaven, they could not harm or injure us, because if a man be in truth such as he ought to be, every evil and tribulation will be turned to his good. For we know how the apostle saith, that all things shall be turned to good for them that love God, and in like manner all things shall turn to the condemnation and punishment of the man of evil will. If thou wouldst be saved and attain to eternal glory, desire not revenge nor punishment of any creature, for the inheritance of the saints is ever to do good and to receive evil. If thou didst but know, indeed, how much and how grievously thou hast offended thy Creator, thou wouldst know that it is meet and right that all creatures should persecute thee, inflicting pain and sorrow upon thee, that so the offenses which thou hast offered to their Creator might be avenged. It is great and high virtue for a man to overcome himself, for he who overcometh himself shall overcome all his enemies and persevere in all good. But still greater virtue would it be if a man suffer himself to be overcome by all other men, for thus would he become victor over all his enemies, to wit, sin, the devil, the world, and his own flesh. If thou wilt be saved, renounce and despise every consolation which all the things of this world and all mortal creatures can give thee, because greater and more frequent are the falls which arise from prosperity and consolation than those which come from adversity and tribulation. A certain religious once complained of his superior in the presence of Brother Giles because of a severe obedience which he had received from him, to whom Brother Giles made answer, "Dearest brother, the more thou complainest, the heavier dost thou make thy burden, and the harder will it be to carry. But the more humbly and devoutly thou submittest thy neck to the yoke of holy obedience, the sweeter and the lighter will that yoke be to bear. But it seems to me that thou art not willing to bear reproach in this world for the love of Christ, and yet desirest in the next world to be with Christ. Thou art not willing in this world to be persecuted and evil spoken of for Christ, yet in the other world thou wouldst fain be blessed and welcomed by Christ. Thou willest not to labor in this world, and thou wouldst repose and take thy rest in the other. Brother, brother, I tell thee that thou dost grievously deceive thyself, for it is by the way of shame, humiliation, and reproach that a man attaineth to true celestial glory, and by patiently enduring derision and contumely for the love of Christ doth a man attain to the glory of Christ. For the worldly proverb saith well, he who gives not what costs him something shall not receive that which he desires. The horse is a noble and useful creature, for in his swiftest course he suffers himself to be ruled, guided, and turned hither and thither, backwards and forwards, according to the will of the rider. So likewise should it be with the servant of God, who should suffer himself to be ruled, guided, turned, and bent, according to the will of his superior, nay, of all others, for the love of Christ. If thou wilt be perfect, strive earnestly to be virtuous and gracious, fighting valiantly against all vices, and bearing patiently all adversities. For the love of thy Lord, who was troubled, afflicted, reproached, beaten, crucified, and slain for thy love, and not for his own fault, nor for his own glory, nor for his own profit, but only for thy salvation. And to the end that thou mayest do this which I say, it is needful above all that thou overcome thyself. For little will it profit thee to lead and draw other souls to God, if thou be not first drawn and led to him thyself. Chapter 6 of Sloth. The slothful man loseth both this world and the next, because he brings forth no fruit in himself and is of no profit to others. It is impossible for a man to acquire any virtue without diligence and great labor. When thou canst stand in a place of safety, stand not in a place of danger. He standeth in a safe place who painfully and diligently labors and toils in God and for the Lord his God, not for fear of punishment or hopes of reward, but for the love of God. The man who refuses to labor and suffer for the love of Christ truly refuses to share the glory of Christ, and thus, inasmuch as diligence is useful and profitable to us, so is negligence hurtful and dangerous. As sloth is the way to hell, so is holy diligence the way to heaven. Most solicitous and diligent ought a man to be in acquiring and preserving virtue, and the grace of God by constant faithful cooperation with the grace vouchsafed to him, for it often happens that he loses the fruit among the leaves and the grain amid the straw. On some our good God graciously bestows fruit with but few leaves. To others he gives fruit and leaves together. Others, again, there are who have neither fruit nor leaves. It seems to me a greater thing to know well how to guard and secretly to preserve the fruits and graces vouchsafed to us by God than to know how to obtain them. For though a man know well how to acquire and gather up wealth, yet if he know not well how to store it up and to preserve it, he will never be rich, while another who carefully treasures up what by little and little he has acquired becomes a man of great wealth. Oh, how great a quantity of water would the Tiber contain, did none of it flow away in other channels. Man asks of God an infinite gift, a gift which hath no measure and no bound, yet he will but love God by measure and within bounds. He who desires to be loved by God and to receive from him an infinite, immense, and superabundant reward ought to love God supremely and immensely, and to serve him without limit or cessation. Blessed is he who loves God with all his heart and with all his mind, who labors and suffers with mind and body for the love of God, and yet seeks no reward under heaven, but accounts himself only to be his debtor. If one man were exceedingly poor and needy, and another were to say to him, I will lend thee something very precious for the space of 3 days, and know that if thou turn this thing to good account within the space of these 3 days, thou shalt gain infinite treasure, and become rich forevermore. Certain it is that this poor man would be most diligent in turning that precious thing to the best possible account. And so I say to thee, that the thing which God hath lent to us is our body, which is his goodness he hath lent for 3 days, inasmuch as our whole life here below may be compared to 3 days. If then thou wouldst be rich and eternally enjoy the sweetness of his divine presence, strive to make the best profit thou canst of this loan from the hand of God for the space of these 3 days, to wit, of this thy body, which he hath lent thee for the brief space of thy mortal life. For if thou art not diligent to labor and traffic in this present life, whilst yet thou hast time, thou shalt never enjoy everlasting riches, nor repose eternally in the peaceful rest of heaven. But if all the wealth of the world were in the hands of a man who made no use of it, either for himself or others, what would it profit either him or them? Assuredly, it would be of no use or benefit whatsoever. On the other hand, a man who possesses little, by turning that little to good account, may bring forth abundant fruit, both for himself and for others. There is a proverb of this world which says, Never set an empty pot to boil on the fire, expecting thy neighbor to come and fill it. And in like manner, the good God will not have thee to leave thy grace empty and unused, because he never gives a single grace to any man that it should remain unused, but he gives it on the contrary that it should be filled and used by the performance of good works. For a good will is not sufficient unless a man fulfill it, carrying it into effect by good works. Said a beggar man once to Brother Giles, Father, I pray thee, give me some little consolation. To which Brother Giles made answer, My brother, strive to stand well with God, and then shalt thou have the consolation thou needest. For unless a man prepare within his soul a fair dwelling, in which God may abide and rest, he will never find peace or home or consolation among creatures. When any man wisheth to do evil, he needeth not much counsel how to do it. But to do well he taketh much counsel, and maketh long delay. Brother Giles said once to his companions, My brethren, it seems to me that there is no one nowadays who wishes to do those things which he sees to be most profitable to him, both in body and soul. Believe me, my brethren, for I can swear it in all truth, that the more a man shuns and avoids the yoke of Christ, the more grievous he makes it to himself, and the more heavily it weighs upon him, while the more generously a man takes it up, lending himself willingly to its weight, the lighter and the sweeter will he find it to bear. Now it is the will of God that man should labor in this world for the good of the body, provided he neglect not the good of his soul. For soul and body, without any manner of doubt, shall be united together, to suffer or to enjoy for all eternity. To wit, either to suffer eternally in hell, inconceivable pains and torment, or to enjoy with the saints and angels in paradise, perpetual joy and unspeakable consolations, as the reward of good works. But if a man do good without humility, it shall be turned into evil. For many there are who have done good works, and praiseworthy to the eye, but because they wanted humility, the works have become corrupt, thus showing that they sprang from pride. For such as have their root in humility never decay. A friar once said to Brother Giles, Father, it seems to me that we have not yet learned to know our true good. And Brother Giles replied, My brother, it is certain that everyone practices the art which he had learned, for no man can do good work unless he has first learned. I would have thee to know then, my brother, that the most noble art in the world is that of well-doing, and who can know it except he first learn it? Blessed is the man whom no created thing can edify, but more blessed is he who receiveth edification from everything which he sees and hears. Chapter 7 of the Contempt of Temporal Things. Many sorrows and troubles shall befall the miserable man who sets his heart and desires upon earthly things, for which he forsakes and loses the things of heaven, and at last those of earth also. The eagle flieth very high, but if a weight be laid upon his wings, he can no longer soar aloft. And so by the weight of earthly things man is hindered from soaring on high, to wit, from attaining to perfection. But the wise man who lays the weight of the remembrance of death and judgment on the wings of his heart cannot fly and range freely amid the vanities of this world, lest they prove to him occasion of damnation. We see daily how men of the world toil and labor hard, placing themselves in many bodily dangers to acquire its false riches. And then, after they have thus labored and acquired, in a moment they die and leave behind them all that they have gathered together in their lifetime. Therefore there is no dependence to be placed on this deceitful world, which deceiveth every man who trusteth in it, for it is a liar. But he who desires to be truly great and rich indeed, let him love and seek the true and eternal riches, which never satiate or weary or grow less. Let us take example from the beasts and birds, who when they receive their food are content, and seek only what they need from hour to hour. And so also ought man to be content with what is barely sufficient, temperately to supply his needs, asking no more. Brother Giles said that St. Francis loved the ants less than any other animal, because of the great care they take in the summer to gather and lay up a store of grain against the winter. But that he said that he loved the birds far better, because they gathered nothing one day for another. But the ant giveth us an example that we should not remain idle in the summertime of this present life, lest we be found empty and without fruit in the winter of the last and final judgment. Chapter 8 of Holy Chastity. Our frail and miserable flesh is like to the swine that loves to wallow in the mire and finds its delight therein. Our flesh is the devil's knife, for it resists and fights against all those things which are pleasing to God and profitable for our salvation. A certain friar said to Brother Giles, "Father, teach me how to preserve myself from sins of the flesh." And Brother Giles answered him, "My brother, he who wishes to move a large stone or any other great weight and carry it to any other place, must try to move it rather by ingenuity than by force. And so, if we desire to overcome the vice of impurity, and to acquire the virtue of chastity, we must set to work rather by the way of humility, and by a good and discreet method of spiritual discipline, than by a rash penance and presumptuous austerity. Every vice troubles and obscures the fair glory of holy chastity, for it is like a bright mirror which is clouded and darkened, not only by contact with impure and defiling things, but even by the mere breath of man. It is impossible for a man to attain to any spiritual grace, so long as he is inclined to carnal concupiscence. And therefore, whithersoever thou turn thyself, thou shalt never be able to attain to spiritual grace until thou canst master all the vices of the flesh. Wherefore, fight valiantly against thy frail and sensual flesh, thine own worst enemy, which wages war against thee day and night. And know that he who shall overcome this mortal enemy of ours has most certainly defeated and discomfited all his other enemies, and shall attain to spiritual grace and every degree of virtue and perfection." Said Brother Giles, "Amongst all other virtues, I would set the virtue of chastity first, because sweet chastity containeth all perfection in itself, but there is no other virtue which can be perfect without chastity." A friar asked Brother Giles, saying, "Father, is not the virtue of charity greater and more excellent than that of chastity?" And Brother Giles said, "Tell me, brother, what is there in this world more chaste than holy charity?" Brother Giles often sang this sonnet, "O holy chastity, how good art thou! Truly precious art thou, and thy Savior is sweet. They who have not tasted thee know thee not. Wherefore the foolish understand not thy worth.